not by letting them to keep seafood away. My rabbi was very much peeved on Torah seafood. This was one of his pet peeves, and tonight I have committed the cardinal sin of transgressing Torah seafood hundreds of times over, as I see. I just came from a wedding, and these things are really out of the rabbi's control. The time that the wedding goes off, it's, in Arabic, we say masif. Masif means, it's, you say masher, there's a time that has to go off, and no matter who the rabbi is, no matter the time you tell, when God's ready for the wedding, you have to be married for a certain amount of years, and months, and days, and seconds also. So all that's calculated, so it's out of my control. But I appreciate your indulgence. Looks like most of you stayed, but it wasn't a couple of people in the front row. I also would have liked to hear the medicine that I initially spoke before me. I'm sure somebody paid it of some sort. You really don't need me to say anything after I'm sure the medicine spoke with great inspiration, as she usually does. So consider this just as a you know, as a postscript. I know most of you ladies don't study Gemara, Talmud, at least on a daily basis. But this piece of Gemara we studied together tonight, and I think it has shed light on Be'ezat Hashem, the holiday that's coming up, the holiday of Shavuot. The Gemara finds itself in Yevamot, which is the more difficult Gemariot. And it's on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Sheni. The Gemara's backdrop is a very famous story in Tanakh. All of you are familiar with this story. The story comes from our prophets. When I was young in Yeshiva, I have claims against my rabbis in high school, because in elementary we learned all the Nevi'im. We studied a lot of the prophets. And when it came to high school, they didn't teach us any Nevi'im. So I went to the Rosh Yeshiva and I said, why are you defining us? Why don't we study any Navi? So he said, we're a non-profit organization. But there's a famous story in Tanakh where David HaMelech, before he was the king, he was a Na'at. He was really unknown. His original claim to fame was when Shaul, the king at the time, the first king of Israel, needed a warrior to go and make battle against Goliath. Goliath might be considered the first official terrorist of the Palestinians. He was a Pinashi. His descendants, his grandchildren and great-grandchildren are fulfilling his minhag. They have continued the tradition of Goliath. And Shaul needs somebody to contend against him. And David, who again was not known as a warrior or a man of might, volunteers. Shaul was a little shocked, so he said, fine, and he took his armor and he dressed David in the armor. So you have to know something. Shaul was a very broad man, very tall, the Shemo Bamala, Gavola Mikolaam. He's tall. The Gemara talks about how he had a wonderful, handsome look. And this armor didn't really fit him. They were suited for the king. So when he dressed David, David wasn't as thick, it wasn't of the same frame, and the clothes fit. This shocked Shaul. Because there was a certain tradition that if the clothes of the king fit, that means that the person wearing them might himself be fit for a king. That means somehow they got smaller, they became fitted, And it was like they were custom men, so Shaul became concerned. So Yehonatan says, Shaul asked, who is this lad? Who is this? Who is this fellow? So the Yehonatan says, what do you mean, who is this fellow? He doesn't know who he is. David, maybe he wasn't known, but his father certainly was known. David ben Yishai was one of the tzaddikim of the generation, a man that was free of sin. The man that the Gemara says used to have an entourage that used to escort him wherever he went. So Shaul saying, who's this boy's father? The Gemara says, who's his father? Who doesn't know the father of David Yishai? So the Gemara says, and I'm paraphrasing to make it easier, he wasn't asking his father, but he was asking a deeper question. When did the Davidic dynasty begin, ladies? It began many years before David. It began with the Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda was married to Tamar. Tamar had twins, one of the most important sets of twins that ever born in our history. Peretz and Zerah. And the tradition goes as follows. If you come from the line of Peretz, so that's where the kings come from. Peretz is lineage produces Malchut. Zerah, on the other hand, produces princes. So David now is asking, where is this son of Yehuda? Which twin does he come from? Is he from Peretz or is he from Zerah? So he really was asking, is this going to be the next king of Israel? So they started the whole tumult to try to find out the pedigree of David. In the interim, came a very great Talmid Chacham into the discussion. A Talmid Chacham of note, a man that was referred to as Doeg HaAdumi. Doeg, the red one. Maybe it was because he had a bronze complexion, but the Gemara tells us in a different place, it was because anytime anybody had a Torah discussion with him, they came out red in the face. His argument was so strong, his logic was so sound, he was Doeg, the one that reddened everybody. Doeg HaAdumi. So wise was this man. Such a scholar, he was able to expound 300 interpretations on Migdal HaPoleya Be'avir. What is Migdal HaPoleya Be'avir? Literally, the tower that's suspended in the sky, which is a very fancy way of saying the letter Namid. Anybody ever see the leather nami? It has a long neck, right? And it has a roof on top. So it's like a tower that's suspended in the sky. He had 300 interpretations of what's the chop in the neck of the nami. Could you give me one interpretation? Or better yet, give me 300 interpretations on anything. That's how wise he. That's how brilliant. He was able to be Doresh, even the construction of the Otiyot. So Egg comes along and says, wait, I think you're ahead of yourself, Shaul. Before you discuss his right to the throne, there's a more basic question that you have to ask. Is he Jewish? Is he Jewish? That's the last question you think to question his Jewishness, David. What kind of question is this? And he said, yes, we have to go back to David's grandmother. She was a convert. So we accept converts. Giyonet Tzedek. She wasn't part of the Syrian community group. She wasn't privy to our edicts and all our walls, so she was accepted. What's the matter with Ruth and Maria? So, Today comes along and says, you forgot the Pasuk of the Torah. The Pasuk says, Lo yavo amoni umoadi bekad Hashem. It's a problem. You can't accept converts from Moab. You can accept converts from all the other nations, but Moab is banned. Therefore, Ruth is forbidden. The whole conversion was illegal. So forget about it. You're talking, is he from the kings? Is he from the princes? He's not even Jewish. So now the conversation becomes a little interesting. So they come along and they answer him. Who was in the conversation? Abner. Abner was the general of Shaul's army. You see, in the olden days, the generals were Talmidei Chachamim. That was the prerequisite. You couldn't fight in the Jewish military unless you had the Simicha, unless you knew the whole Torah Kula. Then you had the Zehut to lead the armed forces into war. You needed to be a celebrated scholar. So Abner now enters the conversation and says, no, Doeg, you forgive me, but there's a Derashah here that you're not familiar with. Moabi, Velo Moabiyah. The men are forbidden, but the ladies are okay. So Ruth's legitimate, and see you later. So Doeg comes over and says, hey, you're not going to intimidate me so fast with that. You're going to start playing games now? Moabi, Velo Moabiyah. So how about when the Torah comes along and says that we cannot accept the Mamzer? Are you going to tell me Mamzer, Velo Mamzer? You're going to start making differences whether it's a boy or a girl? So this already was a strong question. So he comes along and says, well, listen, I'll give you a reason, I'll give you a logic, there's a difference here. The Torah tells us why they're paying. The name that we pick up in the Gemara. Ta'ama b'tarish b'kra, the reason is written in the Pasuk, Ad asher lo kitemu etchem balechem b'malit. When we were traveling through the Midbar, we passed different nations. And Moab was a very cruel nation. They didn't even come out to greet us with bare minimums, like maybe some water, maybe some bread. Now they didn't know that we had the man. They didn't know that we had the well of Midian. We really didn't need any of their provisions. But from their standpoint, you see men, ladies, and children, from your own standpoint, you couldn't make business. How much water could you sell? How much bread would you able to sell? But they weren't interested, and it was out of cruelty. They wanted to see us dehydrate. They wanted to see us starve. So Abner comes along and says, go with the reason. They didn't come out and greet us with provisions. And really, if you think about it, it's the way of men to come out to greet a foreign nation, and it's not the way of ladies to come out to greet. So you really can't put a restriction on the ladies. So come together and says, do it, you're right. I agree with you. It might not be proper for ladies to come out and greet a foreign nation, but the ladies are guilty. They could have greeted the